Adam Cravens, and Jane Ellen watch more movies each month than most people do in a year. Parental guidance suggested reviews new movies in theaters with no spoilers promise. These film nerds know their stuff.
Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. Jane Ellen here.
With Adam Cravens.
And we are going to review an actual movie that you saw in the theater.
A for realsies movie, yeah. Not one of those ones that I make up in my head.
And, well, first.
Right.
You didn't get to see what you thought you were going to get to see.
No. But that happens to me, it seems, more and more. As days go by,
things just don't happen.
Not the way that I intend to see them. But you know, you live, you learn, you go on. You roll with the punches. You know when to hold them. You know when to fold them.
So you saw The Hunt.
The Hunt.
Now I know nothing about it, but now, are they hunting the world's most dangerous animal, man?
I believe that's a saber-toothed tiger. But after is man, a man. Yes.
So the hunt is about hunting
a
man?
Yes. Oh, well, I mean, and women, using men as a unisex term. But yes, it's...
Oh, it's not like a hunt, like a human hunt.
No, it is actually a human hunt. Like,
oh, it really is. Exactly,
they are hunting humans with guns and knives and grenades.
So this movie that I've never heard of until just now, I just guessed what it was about?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly. It's not like about a father and a son like that go into a forest and like come out like better and closer and understanding their relationship after having slayed a deer with their bows and arrows. No, this is about really rich, like liberal, like Hollywood elitists hunting these like just middle class, like to lower middle class citizens.
So it's like hobo fights, but worse.
It's like hobo hunts.
But they're not hunting hobos. They're hunting the middle class.
No, I guess they're not hobos because they do have homes. Like some of them are trailers. Some of them are like kind of rundown houses. Like nobody has a mansion except for the people that are hunting the other people.
And why? Why do they want to mount their heads on the wall? Or?
I can't go into that because it's
revealed. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm going to be perfectly honest, like, I didn't expect anything going into this movie. It's another Blumhouse movie who produce a lot of, like,
the... Millhouse? What?
Blumhouse.
Oh, not Millhouse.
They did the Fantasy Island remake.
Oh, which I heard was terrible.
Well, listen, they're not all gems. But they're all cheap. That's what Blumhouse does. Like, this film, I believe, cost right around $12 to $14 million. It's made $5 million. So far, but when you have a budget of $12 million, like it's really hard to lose a massive amount of money on that. And I will tell you this, the movie is really funny. Like in
is
a very,
it supposed to be?
Oh yeah. Like
oh,
this,
okay.
This is intentional. It's dark. It's very dark humor. Like, okay. For example, at the very beginning of the film, you've got, they're not a couple, but it's a man and a woman. And these two could easily pass for like homecoming king and homecoming queen, or this could be a romantic comedy if it were not for the fact that they've been drugged and dragged out into the wilderness and they're about to be killed. However, like you easily believe that these two, like it's the whenever you drop into the middle of it, you know the very end of the what is it, the Catching Fire? What are those called? The
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Looks like the end of the Hunger Games movies.
Okay.
But, like, with, you know, hunting rednecks instead of, like, people from...
So do they all have to be rednecks? Is that, like, the thing?
They're not, but a lot of them are... They kind of lean toward that stereotype.
Are they hunting Cletus T. Judd?
No. Though it would be funny if in the sequel they hunted, like, people from Mayberry. Like,
and
they recast everyone from the Andy Griffith Show.
And Nicolas Cage is a redneck. Please.
For some odd reason,
he just shows.
Or better yet, he just shows up as Nicolas Cage. Like, he's not even a character. They just let him play him. Like, at this point, he's almost as... iconic is probably not the word, but like Chuck Norris can play himself and it can still be amusing in and of that instance, in the same way that I think Nicolas Cage is notorious. That's the word I'm looking for.
You'll appreciate this, fair having enough. Nothing to do with this movie, but Anna Grace is watching Archer, as well she should, and she says, I love it how they just make Christian Slater an actual character, and it's actually Christian Slater.
Yeah.
And they just drop him right in there.
They're like, and here he is.
And there you go.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, the film is humorous in a way that, like, I was expecting when I saw the rating and I saw the previews, like, I was like, this is going to be kind of probably almost a thriller, like, probably dramatic and kind of bloody. So it turns out it's not really a thriller, but it's actually really funny. It is ridiculously bloody. Like, they're not quite Tarantino-ing it, but, like, people are getting shot with arrows, like, People's heads are just being shot off their bodies. Like, I mean, like I said, it's very darkly humorous, but I found myself, like, laughing out loud in the theater on multiple occasions.
It sounds like, where that's concerned, what is the movie that Jon Stewart gutted in the eye with a pencil? He was a teacher.
The Faculty?
The Faculty,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
It's really long.
That we're the only
it.
Two people that watch that movie.
Okay, I think.
Like,
I'm
pretty sure. Like, because
Jim saw it.
Okay, well, there's three of us, and probably Jon Stewart watched
and
it after the fact. Yeah, his mom did. But I remember, you know how back in the day you would have the wall of the VHSs because this is how long ago that film came out. Like,
wow, I have to look it up because it seems so recent.
Because you had. There was only, like, three of the empty boxes to show where it went if it was, like, rented out. Like, this thing did not take up a wall at your local Blockbuster.
1998.
There you go.
Huh.
DVD was barely a thing at that point.
Wow. And yet, it made $63 million with a $15 million budget.
And keep in mind as well, like, this is $19.98, dollars, so that's probably closer to...
And Elijah Wood was in it?
Yeah. Wow. It actually had a reasonably impressive
cast. Usher was in it?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Jon Stewart.
I just remember Jon Stewart, pencil in the eye. Anyway, I digress. You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Allen talking with Adam Cravens about The Hunt.
And I believe it's a remake of some movie because it even... For some reason, it needs to tell me what year it is after the movie in parentheticals. Like, after it, when I ordered my ticket on Fandango, I was like, well, that's weird. I mean.
Oh, because it says The Hunt 2020.
Yeah. Or maybe that's part
Emma
of the
Roberts
title.
Emma Roberts is in this?
Yeah. It has a reason.
Oh, so they paid for Emma Roberts.
I think Ethan Suplee is also in it.
That's a made-up name.
That's not. He was on Boy Meets World. I'm probably the only person in the theater that recognized him from that because that was, I don't know, 25 years ago. Now, the writing...
Hilary Swank is in it?
Yeah. Two-time Ethan, Oscar winner Hilary Swank. Yeah.
And Ike Barinholtz. Well, wow. There's.
And you might recognize a couple of the names on the writing credits as well. They did a little show back in the day, Jane. I believe you might have heard of it.
It's called Lost.
Lost?
Wow, that's why they did it.
One of the gentlemen also helped co-write Star Trek Into Darkness, Prometheus.
That was a horrible movie.
Prometheus?
Well, the parts I saw of it.
You should watch movies in their entirety.
That's
how they're intended to be seen.
I'm trying to find out if there was another... The Hunt, but all I'm seeing is The Hunt 2020, and I no longer want to search more of it.
Or that's just part of the title, and I didn't realize it. I'm just pointing. I think it's a remake of something, but it's not a film that I am aware of.
And that's saying a lot.
And I mean, I know a lot of obscure movies, like, and a lot of them much older than I.
So I need to know this. Was anyone else in the theater?
There was. It was not packed, probably because of the zombie virus that's going around right now.
We'll discuss that later, yes.
Which it is going to actually put an odd sort of twist on this podcast if the next couple of weeks don't change.
You know what? if they stop releasing films, A, we will simply talk about movies we've already seen, and B, we could just make up films.
Okay, that's the one I was going to say. or C, we could just make movies.
Okay.
I'll just be like, listen, if you guys aren't going to wide release movies, like, I'm just going to release movies. They'll be like, and I'll be like, and this one is called Back to the Future. And they're like, wait, are you just remaking movies that you own and doing very poor special effects and acting? Yeah.
I think Timothy Oliphant would help us with this because our favorite show was canceled.
He seems like a...
He would do it, I think, if he...
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I can get on the Twitter, possibly, and speak to him.
I feel that he and Nate Fillion are friends, and that they would be our friends, too.
Man, I feel like they're the illegitimate sons of Han Solo. you want a Star Wars spinoff I'd watch? For some reason, Han Solo has two kids he never heard about that are, I don't know, twins, but they're not identical twins. And it's just Nathan Fillion and the two of them going around the galaxy, probably shooting things.
Yeah.
In a ship.
In a justified manner.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know anything else about that movie. I don't know who's directing it or writing it, but I'm in. I'm in their opening night.
I greenlight it.
I'm in their opening night, and I don't watch movies at midnight anymore because I can't stay up that late. I have to take naps before I do that. Last time I tried to do that, I believe it was X-Men Days of Future Past.
And you still regret that.
Holy, no, Days of Future Past I didn't.
Oh.
Apocalypse. I regretted. And Dark Phoenix, kind of regret. Really, really all but a couple of X-Men movies, I end up coming out and just being like, well, that certainly could have been better. You had 60 years of X-Men stories to pull from, and you chose to make up a story that no one wanted to hear. Way to go, guys. And you spent $200 million on it.
But that's not the movie we're reviewing.
No.
It's The Hunt,
no.
Which has way more people in it that I know than I thought. You know what happened is Damon Lindelof just called these people and said, hey, want to hang out for a few months? And
listen.
Give you the back end.
The guy seems to, put his hands on successful things. And
that's what she said.
Thank you, Michael Scott. And Carlton Cuse, also, not a man that has not had success, roughly his entire career. Like, however you feel about Nash Bridges, I think it ran for 17 years on CBS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really upset that you didn't go and see the Vin Diesel one.
Bloodshot?
Yeah, because
I believe, if I'm understanding, that's what it's doing to people's eyes. And man, is that film getting, it is not going to make money for anybody. As you may know, but because of the Fast and the Furious movies, Vin Diesel is a huge star over in Europe, China, France.
Oh,
but guess where
Francis David Hasselhoff?
Guess where that film cannot play right now?
Oh, that's right.
Which is problematic.
I loved his comedy Triple X, the one where he wore all the fur coats.
It was not a comedy,
but it was.
Well,
it was so funny.
Well, it's you and I's classic. you have dramas, comedies, unintentional comedies, of which Vin Diesel is, I mean, really, he is the Robin Williams of unintentional comedy.
I think his twin is in this one. Have we have a theory? Well, he has a twin.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
He actually does.
Yeah.
And I think his twin made this one.
He showed up in that one?
I think so. And then Vin is like, go ahead. I got the whole Groot thing happening.
It's the multiplicity theory. Just they copied him. He's a clone of a clone, so he's not quite as on as Vin is. But sometimes Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you gotta pay them bills.
He is Groot. So next week we don't know what Adam's gonna get to see other than Bloodshot. I mean, is it correct? Is Jumanji still in theaters?
And funny enough, it's on digital. I watched it at my house this week with the kids. But it's still in theaters.
Wow.
It is still, I looked at that as, I even pulled it down to update, and I'm like, surely I'm on an old page or something.
You're not, and don't call me Shirley.
No,
so I noticed that the other day, too. I did the same thing. That can't be right. Really?
Listen, Dwayne Johnson is so likable. people will still go see him in the theater even when the film is available to view in the comfort of your own home, because the only way to see Dwayne Johnson is larger than life.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. Okay, so next week you're going to see something, maybe.
I mean, there's a handful of films that will be in there, but we are in a weird case that...
Yes, let's give an update, because it will be drastically different tomorrow and so on and so on and so on. We are recording technically Sunday night.
There are no wide releases currently scheduled for this weekend or next. Now, initially, Quiet Place 2, which I was actually pretty excited about, and Mulan, which I'm less excited about, but still
looks pretty cool.
Yeah, like the idea, taking out Mushu and not making anything musical really kind of hit me in a bad place with that. But I'm trying not to hold that against the movie.
There's no Mushu?
No, no Mushu.
Well then, but I love Mushu pork.
Like, I'm putting it up. Like, they didn't do Aladdin and just be like, you know what everybody loved about that movie? And they're like, Robin Williams' genie and, like, the pop culture references? And they're like, yeah, so we're taking that out. There's no genie in Aladdin. And I'm like, but.
Hmm.
I mean, I was 18, 19 when that movie came out, but I was still like, Eddie Murphy, as funny as that little dragon. Like that little dragon. Like, just... Character doesn't show up at all.
Hmm.
I'm not cool with that. But I mean, I will probably have to end up seeing Bloodshot. Maybe they'll put 1917 back in theaters. I haven't seen The Way Back.
I'm just scanning to see if I have something really incredible to say, and I don't really.
No, and if this continues, we're going to get like summer movies pushed back.
Mm. But maybe that means instead of having a dry period, we'll get bam, 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 bam.
Oh my goodness. Like it'll just be like being bludgeoned with just like a mace or something. Like the new Bond has already been pushed to, I think, the fall. There's a lot of films that have been moved to like 5-6 months down the road. And they were ones that like the advertising had already started rolling out.
Now, what if... Let's just say this whole coronavirus thing drastically changes the way the world does business, like for real, not just for a few months, but for real. Do you think one way the movies that are already made, they've had to push back on, what if they find the theaters would be closed for so long, this is just what if-ing, it would be worth their while to release it and charge, but just release them.
You're talking about putting them on, like, available in a home video.
Yes.
Setting, or a home streaming
and like,
setting.
And, you know, this is the day, and we're going to drop it this day, and just...
And maybe you charge, like, $27 to watch Disney's Mulan.
Yes.
And you can do it day and date.
Kind of like those wrestling pay-per-views you and my husband seem to favor.
Well... You really won't, like, Disney is not going to lose their investment. Or at the very least, if they see that they can kind of take some of the red out of that ledger, like, they're going to do it. Especially if they've already invested, like, you know, $150, you know, $200 million, whatever the budget of whatever the film is. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Disney just kind of drop it on, like, you want a big push for Disney Plus?
Mm-hmm.
Drop Mulan on there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm saying it was supposed to come out at the end of the March. That's not a prime spot right there. I don't know exactly how much went into this film, but I also know that a lot of the shows that are coming up on Disney Plus were not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically any of the Marvel shows that have been announced, none of that could be done cheap. Mandalorian, that thing did not have a shoestring budget.
No.
Like, you want to go ahead and take it away from, like, the theater? Because I don't know how many people were really that excited about Mulan, like, anyways. And, again, I'm not throwing, you know, stones at Disney. Like, they're doing fine, okay? They own Star Wars and Marvel at this point. So, like, they're going to survive.
I was more interested in it simply because it looked more Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And I've seen all the Mulan movies so many times. It just looked different to me, and I was excited for it in that way.
if you are going to remake a movie, do so in a way that you are not just carbon copying the film and putting it, either just recasting it with new actors, or like if it's animated, if you're just basically going like point for, like the Beauty and the Beast live action remake they did. Like it's more or less beat for beat, and in some cases like line for line, the animated film. And I mean, it I guess served its purpose and it made a whole lot of money, but I didn't find myself.
Do you know what Disney Plus is doing with it?
What, Beauty and the Beast?
Yes. It is taking, you know.
Nicolas Cage?
That guy.
The Beast? No, Gaston.
Gaston and LeFou.
And giving them
a six-episode prequel, yeah, love story. I mean, prequel.
I am all about that. Like, if I got to play any character in any musical, I would want to play Gaston. Like, I've long held that. Like, just going, that would be a blast. Like, yeah. you get to play. He's basically the This Is Spinal Tap of musical characters. Like, Gaston is on 12. Or 11
the
entire time. Like, he is completely oblivious to any of his faults. Like, I watched that movie, and I should not enjoy him as much as I do.
You would think he would run for political office.
I could see that.
I could, because everybody loves Gaston.
There's even a song about it. He could sing that when he won.
So, next week, Adam will see something, and we will talk about it.
That's true. All of those things are true.
All these things will happen. And we'll talk about it even if there isn't a podcast. We'll still talk about it.
One way or another. One way or another.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Craven.
You've been listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.